This is Ned's NRL Unpopular Opinions with Gerald Yao-Yi, Oscar Panifex, Liam Fogarty, and Ryan Cook.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Ned's NRL Unpopular Opinions. I am your host, Ryan Cook. Plenty to dive into on today's show, including the blockbuster Zach Lomax deal, why the Raiders are officially contenders, and who would win in an actual fight between Dez Hasler and Sticky Ricky. But first, fresh from the greens in Sydney, two of the finest hackers the game of golf has ever seen. It's Liam Fogarty and Gerald Yao-Yi.
Oh, hello. It's good to be back.
Hello. Yeah, how was golf, mate? Oh, from your perspective.
From my perspective? Couldn't really see by the end of the day. It was enjoyable. It was an enjoyable day to rub some shoulders with some big dogs down in Sydney, down there in Northbridge. Put an absolute show, the boys did.
How are you hitting them?
I thought I was hitting him very well. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, you'd have to ask my teammates. I mean, actually, probably shouldn't ask Fogg because he wasn't hitting him too well.
Look, I didn't claim to be a golfer, but we used a few of my shots more than I thought. Mm. I drained a putt on the first that I was pretty stoked
with. You drained one.
Jeez. It was pretty decent to get the day going. And then it was. We hit a birdie on a par five, and I think we used a shot from all three of us, and Drell hit this putt from about 100 metres out, just kept going.
Bit exaggeration on the 100 metres out.
Yeah, but it was about 99.
100 metres is a long way.
Probably 10 foot. It was a big putt.
Big putt.
A really big putt. And we were just happened to be in the vicinity of some of the boys there, so we really got around each other.
Good vibes.
Great vibes. And as always, look, we'll be welcome back, I know that's for sure. Really put a dent in, any drinks they had there. We really enjoyed ourselves.
Would you say, though, that you boys had the edge over the AFL boys? Because we had Tommy Rockliffe and Dill, who didn't even take more than three shots.
Well, Dill didn't really play.
But Rocky carried a lot. I don't know. It's probably pretty even, I'd say.
Yeah, I'd say it's pretty even.
Yeah.
Rock great, bring good energy. Dill, on the other hand, you know.
I think he hit two balls the whole day.
He's not a sportsman, is he?
No.
He knows a lot about sport.
I tell you what, he fucking commentated enough when we were trying to putt.
Oh, God.
Still my head in, but anyway. We got there in the end.
We saw plenty of that on the socials. All right, enough golf chat. We'll talk some footy now. As I said at the start of the show, Zach Lomax, we learned on Tuesday, will officially be wearing the blue and gold of Parramatta come next season, inking a four-year deal with the Eels. Look, he's been wanting to get out of the Dragons for some time now. Been no secret that that's been the case. Brings up game 100 on Friday against the Wars in Wollongong. Just let's get some thoughts. Do we like this deal for Parramatta? What do we think about it for the Dragons?
Yeah, I mean, at the moment, it's the Dragons. It's not good for the Dragons. He's playing some good footy. Mm. He's actually been their standout. Apart from, Ben Hunt every week we spoke about last year. It might be the change-up of where he's playing and the position he's playing in, but I also think that he's got that mindset of he's probably settled now that he's like, oh, I am going, so I might as well just put everything into it and have a go and try and get as far as I can in this competition with this side. at the moment, he's a big loss because, like I said, he's playing outstanding footy and he's a big up for Parramatta. I think he'll be one of the buyers of the season next year. I mean, I don't really see anyone at the moment going somewhere else that I think that's going to give as much impact as him, and that's me talking about Parramatta as well. Mm. So, I think it's a really good buy for Parramatta and a huge loss for the Dragons at the moment.
Does he play centre for Parra, or is he on the wing?
He's not doing himself any favours at the moment, is he?
No.
I mean, look, he's really in a bit of open field. He's hard to handle. I don't think I've seen a better bloke in the last couple of years under the high ball as good as him. He hasn't had that opportunity to do it in the centres because I feel like when Ben's been able to put, say another centre or another half at risk of jumping over them, he doesn't get those run-ins as much as he is getting on the wing. He can time his run a lot better. So, it's going to be interesting to see where they put him. We seen a little bit when he was playing against the Newcastle Knights at fullback. I thought he was outstanding there. I still don't think his time's up in the fullback role at the Dragons yet. So, I mean, I would like to see him play a little bit at fullback. Like I said, he's hard to handle. He's really wiry when he holds the ball. And he's a little bit like Tom Dvojevic when they put those kicks up and running through. He gets his hands above his head and he's really, he's really decent at catching that. So I mean, it's up to the, you know, Parramatta. I would like to see him play fullback, I think, there. But, you know, where do you put
It's tough to King take Gutho? Gutho out of fullback, isn't it?
It is. But he's, you know, Gutho's a guy who'll lead from anywhere anyway. Mm. It doesn't matter. You can put him in the halves. You can put him in the centres. You can put him on the wing. It doesn't matter where you put Gutho. He's a team player for Parramatta, and he's always going to put his best foot forward when he plays at another position. So it's a good headache to have for Brad Arthur if he is still there next year. I like him at fullback, and hopefully that's where he ends up.
That's a nice little segue into my next question, because there's been a lot of talk about Parramatta's window sort of closing after this year once Brad Arthur does leave. Do you think Lomax is still going there at the right time to win a premiership?
Oh, look. Not next year.
Yeah.
You know, he signed, what, a four-year deal?
Yeah,
four. Yeah, so, like, I mean, he obviously sees, a program there that he can progress with and go forward with. So, yeah, they don't look like their window at the moment is gone, but it doesn't mean it can go up again in the next couple of years. And adding him to the roster definitely helps them. Just sees where else they go, like who else they need to go get. Is Dylan Brown and Mitch Moses the right guys for each other as well? Like, you know, you got to think about that spine. And if they are bringing in someone like Zach Lomax and do put him at fullback, then does that change up their spine? Do they need to go find someone else to help do that? Yeah, look, I don't think Parramatta are in any sort to win any grand finals in the next couple of years.
It's a very small window.
Very small window. So, yeah, they're going to have to move on and, see a long-term, plan for them.
And just quickly, from the Dragons' point of view, what would you like to see them do with this money that's been freed up? Like, who should Shane Flanagan be targeting looking ahead to next year?
Well, I know that I've heard whispers that they're trying to sign Ben for another year. And purely I think that is to keep alive what he wants, and that's to win a grand final as well. So if you take away your star halfback for one, then you've got to rebuild from there. And when you're a new coach like Flanagan coming in, how long has he got? How long are they going to give him? If Ben stays around for another year, a bit of a kick in the face for the Titans, actually, to miss out if they do re-sign him. But, yeah, look, I think I'm not sure where they need to use it at the moment. Probably in one of those centre. Well, not Suli. I think Suli's playing all right footy to be there. But, once Zach goes out, who else goes on the wing, where... It's probably they've just signed Famua Brown for the rest of this year. Is that a position that they think they need to certain up in the spine as well? I don't know exactly, but we'll soon find out, I suppose, next year when they lose Zach and Famua Brown as well.
Yep. Just in general, Fogs, I'm keen to get your sort of thoughts on this as more of a fan. This kind of mid-season signing with all the teams is very unique to our game. Mm-hmm. Are you a fan of players committing to other clubs midway through a year?
It's weird, hey. Like, how does now Zach get up and about to play for the Dragons?
Is it a distraction?
Like,
yeah.
Like, if he doesn't continue performing, the fans are going to dogpile him. It's like, well, you've checked out. Yeah, I think we should kind of not be announcing those things mid-season. Like, by all means, get the contract done, but I don't think it's the greatest look.
Yep.
Especially if things start to go south. Like, I'm not sure.
You prefer more of like a free agency window like we have in international sports during the off season?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. I think it's the area that the NRL lacks. Like, there's teams don't get an compensation for developing players, like Lomax just gets to leave and the Dragons don't make any money from him. Yeah, I just don't think that we do transfers very well at all.
Do you think there's another look at it, though? Do you think it's on the player as well? Do you think he's put himself at risk? I think sometimes we've got to look at it from their point of view. Mm. He doesn't have to sign right there and then. He could say, I want to wait till the end of the year, closer to the end of the year. But I believe that in a player's point of view, they just get it done so they know where their future is and they can just get on playing their footy. Yep. Where if they don't, and they also know the baggage they take on, he's got to know that if they start playing shit, well, he's going to get some of the blame for that because, Zach's not going to be here next year. So there's a couple of ways you can look at it. And, I've always said there should be, because I like my soccer, I think there's got to be a transfer window.
100%.
Because you can have as much speculation as you want throughout the year. And that's the nice thing about being a fan of another club. I Google pretty much every second day Arsenal transfers because I want to know who's in the conversation when it comes into the middle of the season, who are they talking to already to have a chance to be able to come here. So I would love a transfer window. I think for a fan it would be great. for the players, yeah, not it's not always the greatest when you're like, oh, I'm not comfortable here, but it doesn't mean you still can't play your best, you know, football at that club. So I think a transfer window would really work.
We've also seen players like that have signed those contracts at the end of the year, then weasel their way out of their current contract and join the club towards the back end of the season. So I think that it's probably something that we should look at and kind of I think the football model would work really well for the NRL. But yeah, even I know it's logistically a nightmare, but trades would be
Trades would be better.
Yeah, I think trades would really work. I don't know.
I think trades would work better as well. It's a little bit messy.
Yeah.
When you do this type of stuff, and then people can check out. But the other thing is, clubs do it as well. It's not just players. You know, clubs go, oh, you can go. Then we don't want you. But when it's the other way around, of like, oh, I want to get out. They hold all the cards, most of the clubs do, and they go, well, no, you're not going anywhere until the end of the year because you're playing such good footy. We're going to keep you. So, yeah, it works. It does get a little bit messy.
It does. Well, I think a good example of that last year is Hunty wanted to leave and they wouldn't let him. But then Josh Kerr got to leave the Dragons and go to the Dolphins halfway through. So it's not quite where it should be.
Like it's sort of one rule for one player, one rule for another one.
Exactly.
Well, they can, you know, they obviously can see a future with Ben where they couldn't with Josh Kerr. In all due respect, you know, they have more admiration for Ben Hunt than Josh Kerr. So, and it's the Zach Lomax thing at the moment. Like, I actually think he's a player that they should have tried to keep, but obviously the club didn't think so, and they'll move on and he'll go somewhere else. He's probably obviously on a lot of money, and that's where they got to try and retain someone else. And I think the next signing that you'll see, apart from Famua Brown, who have just signed, is Ben Hunt. I reckon he'll be the next cab in the rank to sign another year, because at the moment, you tell me what other halves are out there, young fellas that are out there that are coming into the side to fill his boots. I don't think there's anyone. So it's tough.
Well, there you have it, listeners. Jarrell's breaking some news on the potty this week, straight off the bat. Let's talk some top eight. I'm pretty keen to get into some Canberra chat. I don't know if you boys have realised, but the top four has a very 2016-like feel to it at the moment. Sharks on top, Storm, Raiders and Cowboys occupying top four in that order. The Milk barely survived last week against the Titans in what was one of the more thrilling games of the round. Look, plain and simple, do we think Canberra are pretenders or contenders? Because to me, this just feels a little bit similar to the Warriors last year. We kept questioning them, and then they end up finishing top four, and they were legitimate.
Well, I think we let it slip through the cracks last year. I don't think we talk about enough about Canberra.
We don't.
I don't think anybody does, and that's why they finish so high each year in and out.
Yep.
Like, what did they finish fourth last year? Fifth. Yeah. Fifth or fourth last year. I don't even think any of us had them in contention to make a finals. And there they were.
Yep.
Just, it was like they were just, there was a blurred line on the ladder. We weren't even seeing them. Same thing right now. They're in third position.
Yeah. They just and sneak up there, don't they?
They just sneak up there. And you know what? That's the way Ricky Stewart would love it to be. I think we need to start a petition to keep talking about the Milk.
Yeah.
Talk about the Milk as much as possible. So they ruin themselves. They go backwards.
Yeah.
You know, they're a great footy side, don't get me wrong. But do we think every year they deserve to be up there? I don't think they do. But they prove us wrong every year because we don't talk about them. We don't put pressure on Canberra. There's no pressure on Canberra. They're stuck in their little bubble. Like Melbourne, they're stuck in their little bubble down in their own little...
They're forgotten area. About.
They're easily. Forgotten about, yeah. yes. Yeah, and they just go about their business and they're happy about that. They're a little bit like the... Queensland side when it comes to State of Origin. You know, we just like to slip through the cracks. Everyone talks about New South Wales and how shit they are or how good they are.
And they almost thrive on that underdog.
They do.
Chip on the shoulder.
They're not underdogs.
Role.
Like, no. This weekend they're coming to Suncorp Stadium and they shouldn't be underdogs. They're third position.
Yeah, and they're $3.10. Yeah.
You know, and we're in 10th position. Like, and we're 4 points behind them. And we're $1.30.
Yeah.
Five.
Yeah.
It's crazy to think that they just keep slipping through the cracks. We need to talk about the Milk more.
Well, it's interesting because heading into the season, every single preview you read, it's the Raiders are rebuilding. This isn't going to be their year.
Well, one guy they lose and they say they're rebuilding, Jack Whiten.
Yeah.
It's crazy. We need to change our narrative on them.
And your brother, Foggs, Jamal, has been outstanding.
Cousin.
Has been outstanding.
Did you tell him? Did you talk to him over the weekend?
I just shot him a message. Yeah, like, thanks. See you at the next barbecue, right? Yeah.
Well, from a betting perspective, you can still take $2.30 for the Raiders to make top eight. The road ahead. Yeah, it is unreal. The road ahead, they're at Manly, then they've got the bye, then they've got the Dogs up here at Suncorp for Magic Round, the Roosters and the Finns. So this is going to be a very interesting couple of months coming up for them, but it sounds like we're all in agreement that the Raiders are a top eight serious contender this year.
Yeah, I hung shit on them a fair bit because they fell away in that game, I think, against Para a few weeks ago. And I think they were third favourites to win the Spoon at the start of the year. So, look, I think they're a real team now. I hate to say it. They've done my head in all year. But, yeah, here they are sitting in third. Pretty comfortable run the next few weeks.
Is it the draw? Do they get any? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not trying to
strength
say
the
that,
schedule.
Yeah, I'm not trying to say that they're not a good side, but they do seem to, you know, slip through the cracks. Is it the games down in Canberra that we don't want to switch over and watch on TV?
Potentially, yeah.
Is that what is that what it is for us? Like, I've never gone, you know what, I want to watch this Canberra-Melbourne game. Yeah. I've never done that.
Apart from the pre-game Viking clap, that's sort of...
Yeah. Well, I didn't even know they still... Did they still doing that?
Yeah.
Isn't it Finland that started that anyway in the World Cup back in... Yeah. Dirty Dogs.
Ripping it off.
Yeah, look, they are contenders. Let's keep them now, you know, in talking conversations over the year because we don't want to let them slip through the cracks and stay up there in those positions.
Let's keep talking the milk really quick. I said in the intro, Sticky Ricky and Des Hasler exchanged some words after that game in the tunnel last Sunday. Ricky had said, fuck me, is he on another planet in the press conference after Desi got stuck into the officials. Yep. Who's winning a fight between these two blokes?
I think setting's everything for these two. If Ricky's dropped in on a wave on Desi, I think Desi's flattening him.
Yeah,
anywhere else, I've got
Ricky. If you're down the TAB with Tricky Ricky, I think that he's pulling hair and biting ears to win at all costs. So it's a toss-up. I don't know. I don't know about these two, but it's good. They're two old dogs going at it. I love when their coaches take away from the – like, we're not even really hearing about the game. We're hearing about them two. You know, it's a bit of a Wayne Bennett play from both of these old dogs. They know what they're doing. Mm. They're having to go each other to keep it away from their teams. And, look, at the end of the day – they should never have been that close to Titans to Canberra, like in the way they're playing this year. So, I think Dez wins this round.
Do you think Ricky has a bit of little dog syndrome about him sometimes, or no?
Oh, I think he's got a little. I think Canberra is the little dog syndrome.
Overall,
I think he thinks that their shit don't stink down there, and everything needs to go their way. So, if I need to get Macca to start calling him again and pranking him to get him rolled up.
Maybe that's a new segment. Maybe. We can start pranking people.
Prank calling NRL coaches.
Gotcha calls with Giraffe.
Let's get bells.
Gotcha, bitch.
All right, boys. When we come back, we're going to get stuck into some betting. The offload is up next.
All the betting trends from around the comp. This is the offload.
Round 7 of the NRL is fast approaching, which means we've got to get stuck into some numbers and some betting. Look, Fogs, we're without the great man Oscar Panifex this week. He's tying the knot, so we're not going to have his thorough expertise on the game, but we do have a few important clashes to preview this week. We're going to start with the Roosters and the Storm.
Yeah, look, I'm probably not going to be able to talk block shapes and backline swings the way that Oscar does, but I'm keen to hear your boys' thoughts on a few of the games this week. Start with the Thursday night game, Roosters v Storm, absolute blockbuster. The Chooks have named Connor Watson at 6, and old mate Walker has been named in the Reggies. Melbourne are close to a full strength side. Are the Storms as $1.92 outside as a decent bet here? Is that where you're looking?
I think, anytime you can get that sort of price for Melbourne, I'd be happy to take it. Yeah,
they get big Nelson back as well. He's been playing at the Bears, has he?
Yeah, ripping and tearing.
Ripping and tearing at the Bears. So they get them back, him back as well. And we know what we get when we talk about Melbourne. They're a classy outfit. They're once again playing back to their potential this year, I believe, apart from the little hiccup from last week, a bit almost Bulldogs.
Yeah.
Let them back into the game. But, I believe this will be a tight match. But I think Melbourne come away with this one.
Yeah, certainly. All right, let's talk Eels v Dolphins up in Darwin, if I'm not too mistaken.
It is.
Which is kind of the Paras' home away from home. They seem to play a game up there every year. Mm-hmm. The Finns don't have Hamiso Tabuai-Fadou this week. Tri Fuller gets his second game of NRL. Look, they were blown out by the Bronx in the second half last week. But does a 7.5-point line lead you boys towards the Finns covering up in Darwin?
I don't mind that, actually.
Yeah, I'd probably lean towards the under if I was betting on this game. Just I don't think we get many high-scoring games up in Darwin from memory. But, yeah, that is a pretty big head start for a team that was on top of the table last week.
And it was 6-4 at halftime in that Bronx game.
Yeah.
They put on a pretty good performance for the first 40. I think the Finns covering might be where I look, but there's a bit of Queensland bias there.
There is, on the entire show, yeah.
No, I think the Dolphins I think they might be good for that, honestly. And you never know, when you're talking about Wayne again, like away trips, that's an away trip, you know, for any side. That's not just for Parramatta. So Wayne's got this knack of getting people up when they're going to different parts of the world. So, I like the Dolphins in that.
One of the things to keep an eye out for in that game, every time the Eels go up to Darwin, Brad Arthur just drinks water like nothing
else. Does he really?
Oh, yeah. Do you have a market for that to see how many water bottles
you
could
get
through?
I'm going to have to have a chat to him because it's like, no, it was ridiculous.
No, it was like 12, I think, last year.
Yeah, he just doesn't stop drinking water.
And because the coach's box is clear, you can just see all these water bottles and he's just picking up one and then putting it down to the side.
I'll have to show you a photo.
It's incredible.
It's a thing.
Just refill, bro. Think of the environment.
Yeah, I know. A lot of plastic. Looking at the Bulldogs v Knights game, I'm pretty sure that's the Sunday. It might be Saturday. I could be wrong. Newey look a much better 2-4 team compared to the Dogs in my eyes. It's pretty even money for both these sides. I think the Knights are ever so slight underdogs at $1.90. Where do you boys lean in this one?
I actually disagree with you. I think the Bulldogs are the better team here.
Here we go.
Well, you look back at their last few games. Defensively, they've been pretty good, at least in the first half. Nearly came back and beat the Storm last week. So I think the Dogs are going better than a lot of us give them credit for.
Yeah, they are. I just don't think... Back-to-back weeks, they could score points late. When you're chasing a game, you've got to throw the ball around. It could have gone either way for them. You know, it could have been a blowout to Melbourne. But sometimes when the ball's bouncing your way, which I think that's what happened with the Bulldogs last week, the ball was just, in that last 10 minutes, it was just going their way.
Chaos.
But it was just going their way. I'm still not certain on the Bulldogs. I'm still not certain on their spine. I think they've still got a lot of things to fix. I think Newcastle have been together too long, and it's not a far trip for them to go. It's not really that far, so I like Newcastle in this one.
Nice. And then we'll touch on the Sharks-Cowboys game. I know we've just talked up the Sharkies being top of the table, but I reckon Cowboys at $2.30 could be my best of the round.
Best of the round?
Best of the round.
I honestly do not hate it because we know what the Sharks are like with top eight teams, the top six teams even, and Cowboys, you know, should be in around them, you know, their areas. I like the Cowboys in this one. I like when they can spoil a party.
They sure can.
The Cowboys can, and I believe that that's what they'll be planning on doing. Tommy did, and that they'll be their plan will be to go ambush the Sharks down there at Shark Park. So I'm with you with that. That's not my best bet of the round though. My best is I'm going the Titans.
Yes.
Yeah. I think Des. I think having Desi with his old side. There's something just a little bit different to this game. A bit of a revenge game. So I'm leaning towards, if you want a bit of value, punters, that's where I'm going to lean towards this weekend because they were so close against Canberra. I think they're hungry. They're pretty hungry. And going to extra time, Manly might just be a little bit tired and they've travelled on the Sunday. They're playing on Friday again? That's a short turnaround.
Yeah.
I really, really like the Titans in this one.
I think they would have taken a lot away from that Canberra game. They're like, wow, we can actually push these teams.
Yep.
So, I think that's a pretty good bet. I think Titans to cover might be where I'm leaning.
Yeah,
because I'm a bit of a wuss.
Yeah. Likes a bet each way. This bloke.
Might be the cover.
Yeah. You know who likes at either team 12 and a half? Mr. Oscar Panifex.
Yeah, there he goes.
Shit on him when he's not.
I'd do it if he's here. do you boys have any try scorers that stand out this week?
Well, I know Gerald's got one for us in our multi.
Yeah,
we won't spoil that straight away.
No, don't spoil it straight away. Penrith, anything in the Penrith game, I think.
It's Taruva.
Obviously, that's going to be, unless it pisses down, because we know how bad Penrith are in the rain. I like anything in any of those back lines in the Penrith side, that's probably where I put my money this weekend.
Nice. I think Wateen Zalesniak against the Dragons on, is it Friday night they're playing?
Yeah.
I think
so, it might be the early Friday
game. Yeah, the early Friday game. Yeah, I'd probably lock him in for a double.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. There you have it, punters. All right.
All right.
There we go,
good.
Bush.
That's some good betting chat there, Fogs. We will come back. It is story time with Jarrell.
Strap yourself in. It's story time with Jarrell.
Each and every week, JYY takes us back through the archives to his playing days. Last week, he gave us a lesson on personal hygiene and the importance of washing your mouth guard. He's now referred to as Dragon Breath on this show and all around Australia. Jarrell, what do you got for us this week?
Yeah, well, obviously, we went to the Hackers major last week. And I thought I would bring to light a story that I had in probably my first year of first grade, actually. The Broncos, we used to have these awesome golf days. Golf days. Basically just big piss-ups after pre-season's finished, and it's all sponsored. So sponsor holes, you know, there's lovely ladies at some holes and whatnot. But this one, I think it might have been Pelican Waters in the Sunshine Coast, where I think it's just been done up there. And there used to be a hotel literally right on the course. We'd go there, we'd stay the night, and then we'd go out and play. This is like another one of those stories where we went to the races that time and people got hurt. People got hurt. So who would have thought you could put a whole group of top 30 footy players on a golf course while preseason's finished and everyone wouldn't come out okay? Mm. Well, this is what's happened in this case as well. And our little mate Andrew McCullough makes an appearance in this one because we know how much of a piss wreck he was when he used to play footy. So we've got another one for you, Andrew. So this one was, obviously there's heaps of holes. Stupid shit happens on these, when you used to be able to play these. The one hole that really got us come undone was the Streets hole, like the ice cream. So we should be sponsored by Streets. Mm. And these holes had, they were making, it was like a slushy machine, but obviously alcoholic slushies, which was great. I'm not sure if they were supposed to promote that at the time, but we got away with it. Anyway, we had these bean bags that were sort of, you know, that it's not like leather, it's like fake leather, bags. So really weird. Anyway, the boys sort of be all right to muck around in this certain hole and fair few of those bean bags. So one led to another. A lot of boys are hitting each other with the bean bags, getting a bit aggressive. our little mate Andrew McCullough decides to run over and jump on one of the bean bags. And does his ankle, like I'm talking high ankle sprain, pretty bad, straight away. And if you've ever met Macca when he's had a few and hurt himself, he really lets you know about it too. He's like really in a whingy way. It didn't finish there. He's fallen into the slushy machine, knocked it fully over. So there's bird seed everywhere. The cage is rattled. His cage is rattled. We're trying to get him back to the cart. And at the time, Ivan Henjak's our coach and has seen what's happened. And we've had to divulge what's happened to us. He got sent back home early on that trip, on the bus trip, and we all stayed. But it just shows you when this one guy keeps commenting on all our posts, Andrew McCullough, and tells me not to talk about his stories, well, let's just stop being a dickhead and it'll be fine, mate. So that one's about Andrew McCullough and how much of an idiot he was.
Just fueling the fire. Commenting, mate.
We're going to have to get him on for a writer reply.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, but I've told all the ones that incriminate me, so it doesn't really. And everything that I've done, he was with me, so he can't really do anything about it.
Outstanding as always. Good work. All right, when we come back, it's Fogg's Fast Five.
Who decided to give him his own segments? It's time for Fogg's Fast Five.
Well, last week, Fogg's, you laid into the Finns for their jerseys, their new TV slogan, and just about everything else. And boy, did he get the Bronx up and about for the derby last week. We're keeping it all Queensland this week. You're keen to get into some state of origin chat.
Yeah, we're only six weeks away. And there was a fair bit of Queensland chat over the weekend.
Well, 4 weeks away, really, because they've got to choose a team and then 10 days out, you know. So
it's time.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time.
We might inspire Bill and pick a few things here. Okay. So I thought I'd I'd ask you boys a few questions about the Maroons this year, and just see where your thoughts are at. So we'll start with the fullback position. Are you boys taking Ponga or Walsh?
Walsh,
yeah.
Easy.
Yep. Walsh. I think he hasn't lost the series. You've got to. He's got to be doing some stupid stuff on the footy field to not be selected. I think he's been given the right to get first choice.
Is there a world where they can coexist?
Oh, I wish. But you've got to leave Harry Grant or Ben Hunt out, and I just don't think that happens. But in the years that have followed, the number 14 jersey has been, you know, also had their four people. And I believe, if I'm not wrong, Caelan Ponga did debut in his 14 jersey.
Ponga debuted as a forward utility.
Yeah.
Like he just played in the middle. Yeah. And just so he can clearly do it. And I reckon he's put on a few kgs since then as well.
He looks heavier, yeah.
It certainly does. All right. Number two, I think Xavier Coates has already locked up a wing.
Yeah.
Who do you boys think is the other winger?
Oh, I mean, it's tough. I mean, Murray Taulagi's playing pretty good footy.
He's out this week.
And he's out.
Cobbo.
But Selwyn is just such a big body as well. It hurts my brain.
How good
but
is
it's
it?
The best it's the best thing to have.
It's a good problem.
It's a great problem to have. I mean, yeah, I'm probably leaning towards Selwyn because he's just he's a bigger body than Murray, not a lot bigger, but I'm going, and he's got a bit more X factor,
which
I think we need in Origin.
And I think he'd be looking forward to playing on the wing again after all the shit work in the centres. He can just let loose.
Yep, yep.
I think that's a good shout. All right, who are you starting props for the game one, boys?
Oh, I think Lindsay Collins has to be one. Oh, man.
You're putting us on the spot here.
Props is
a hard one.
Yeah, props is a hard one. I mean,
so no Tino this year, obviously.
Yeah, that's a big loss.
Huge loss. I think Ruben Cotter was starting prop game three last year.
Well, he was supposed to play back row, wasn't he? In a lock, and then he ended up starting. Yeah. Oh, man. It's tough.
Next question.
Yeah. I can't pick right now.
We alluded to this one a little bit earlier. So we've got Ben Hunt and Harry Grant. Who plays 9 and who plays 14?
I think Ben starts. I think he's the incumbent. I think he's done enough.
Yeah.
I think he's done enough to be able to start the game. And what they both bring off the bench is great, but Harry's, you know, his dummy half running out of his second and he's the best in the game.
Once they're tired,
Between Egan and him, we've got to stick up for Oscar here. Between Egan and him, they're the best in the game at running the ball.
Game three last year, it was Harry Grant that started and Hunty came off the bench.
Yep.
But I think Benny's my number 9 till he's not. And then lastly, have you boys got any Smokies debuting for the Maroons this year?
Oh, jeez. Debuting.
We needed some prep for this one.
No. I like this. Jermaine Hopgood play yet?
No, he hasn't.
He hasn't played. He's been in the squad. I think Jermaine Hopgood's a good shout. He's been playing some pretty good footy for them. I mean, look, even another shout is Ezra Mam. He's been playing good footy as well. Really hard to change a spine and for Tom already being in there. So, but, I mean, he'd be there and thereabouts as well. Yeah, there's a few. I mean, I'm just going to keep it to those two.
Yeah,
they're
my
two.
That's the great thing about our system. Like, the next boys to debut have been in the squad already. Like, you know they're coming.
Yeah.
So I'm with you. They were the two that came to my mind. I think, does Hopgood almost get a starting spot, or is Fifita a second row for you?
It's just hard. Dave's so damaging.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so.
Is he in your team at the moment?
Oh. We're going to have to recheck me next week. This is so over. Like, I'm actually sweating right now. I'm so overwhelmed. But can we come back with our
two early teams
next week?
100%. Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah. 100%. Let's do that. Let me put that in there. I'm going to leave here right now after this podcast and do my team. Since I've become a coach, honestly, that's all I do week in and week out now is do my team and I swap around. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that for next week.
I used to do it at the back of class. Like, you'd in your notebook, you'd have, like, your Maroons team. And So I'll be doing that again next week.
Yeah.
Speaking of, you've got your first round one game this week, Gerald.
Yeah, I do.
As a coach?
Honestly, you'd be silly not to come down and watch this footy game. 4 o'clock, West Arana Panthers. round one against the grand finalists last year, brothers.
Big test.
Big test. Huge test. We're probably missing Big Slam and Sam Thaiday this weekend. He's out frolicking out in the country somewhere, which is all right. You know,
he steps in.
He doesn't get paid his matchy, so that's fine. No, we don't pay matchies here. There's a few boys, a few young fellas who he's taken under his wing. So, but honestly, if anyone wants to, the pig pen will be open at 12 o'clock. There's a few games beforehand. All the money that gets raised in the pig pen goes back to Junior Rugby League for us, nice. And half of it to our side in our game as well. So 4 p.m. down at Westerana, Kevin McKell Oval. You don't want to miss this one. The field's looking a treat and the team's looking better.
Be there or be square. All right. When we come back, we got to talk about something very serious, and that's the multi.
Surely they get one up this week. It's the NRL Podcast Multi.
Boys, we're struggling. We haven't got a multi up yet. The AFL show's still one up on us, unfortunately.
How long has it had between drinks, though, before this potty? Because in this multi, it's been terrible going. In the groups, it's been fine. You know,
fine.
Getting green. Well,
I wouldn't go that far.
Well, not as good as last year, but do you know what I mean? It's yeah, we need something.
Yeah.
We need something.
We need to lift. All right, let's recap last week. Gerard, you got us off to a fly, mate. Back in Newcastle to beat the Chooks.
Yeah.
It was close. Yeah. You know, they had a chance at the dying moments.
They're busters. And I've tipped them this week again.
Foggs, you were next up. What did you have again, mate?
I took the Melbourne Storm 13 plus over the Bulldogs.
Yeah.
That was a bit stiff. I'll give you that one.
Yeah.
It's tough going.
It is.
It's tough going. It's tough going to tip a, tip, not only tip a winner, but even just tip in your tips. Like, it's just hard.
We said it over the weekend. If you're winning your tipping content, you have no idea.
One of my mates, he's winning ours, and he's always the one that's losing all his bet slips and is not good at tipping, and he's leading by four.
Says everything.
Dumb luck.
Yeah. That's exactly what he is.
Oscar had the Dragons 1-12 against the Tigers. He got the tick there, and then I had the Eels plus 3.5 versus the Cowboys. So the record now stands, Oscar's 4-3. Gerard, you've slipped to 3-4. I've improved to 5-2. Foggs, you're 1-6, my friend.
That's shocking.
Yeah, no good.
That's shocking from you. But it's all right. The only way is up, baby. The only way is up.
Don't say that.
The lower you go, you only can go upwards.
You're going about as well as I am on the racing tips. And we both get him. We're both employed to cover these respective sports.
I'm
so going to
get
really
the
good.
Ass.
Yeah. So Oscar has chimed in with a leg for our multi this week.
All the way from Bali?
He's taken the Eels head-to-head versus the Finns in that game in Darwin on Friday. Foggs, you're next up.
I need one. I need to lift.
I need one.
And I'm backing my boys this week. If someone's got my back, it's the Brisbane Broncos. $1.30 against Canberra at Suncorp.
Something.
Yep.
That's something.
Yeah. Fingers crossed, all that jazz.
Yeah.
We spoke last week about punishments. The Mo, is it on the line this week?
It might have to happen, man.
Like, we need a yes or a no. Like, can you make it happen?
I can make it happen.
Oh, okay.
So if the Bronx get done this week,
we're shaving the Mo.
As long as we make a spectacle of it, and it's content.
Yeah, it'll be content.
Well, that's one part of your job done. Sweet. All right. We'll praying for the Bronx to lose. So you have to work hard next week. If
the Broncos don't win this week, I will shave my mustache off.
There you go. Yeah.
And how long has it been since you shaved it? Like, you were clean shaven?
8 years.
No way. Wow.
2016.
No way.
2016.
So this is a big deal. Are you serious?
Bro, I've got like a tan line underneath. Like, it's just.
I didn't know it'd been that long.
Yeah.
That's big.
No, it's
oh
been.
Oh my God.
It's been a minute.
Wow. So he's got faith in the Broncos. Yeah.
Right, okay.
I'm freaking out.
The pressure is on him.
The Raiders beat the Bronx at Suncorp last year as well, just quietly. But. Yeah. I'm confident in the boys.
I'm not worried at all. I've gone the Sharks to cover versus the Cowboys on Sunday. Sharks are 8-2 in their last 10 home games. I don't think the Cowboys travel that well either.
Yep.
And Gerard, you're going back to the well with an anytime try score.
Well, you look, mate, I've gone head-to-head for the last 3 weeks and I've come up with nothing. So I'm going to go back to where I know and what I know best, and that's scoring meat pies. And I've gone in the Broncos game. I've gone back to my old club where I think they can do well, and I've gone with Jesse Arthur's anytime try scorer. So come on, Jesse, give us something.
Yeah, we do need something.
Something.
Bit short on the odds this week, boys. Only $6.76. Just to recap, though, Oscar's gone the Eels head-to-head against the Finns. Then we've got two legs in the Broncos game. We've got the Broncos to win and Jesse Arthur's anytime. And then I've gone the Sharks to cover against the Cows. You can find that multi in the NRL special section on the Neds app. Boys, are about to wrap up. What are we looking forward to this coming weekend?
Oh, look, I'm really looking forward to beating the milk.
Like, me too.
We just need this. We need this not only for the multi, but like you said, we don't really have a good track record against Canberra at home. I still remember the defeat we had back in 2010 to beat us to make the top eight, and that was the first time we ever bowed out of the top eight in the history of the Brisbane Broncos. So there's a little bit of history there.
Yep.
You know, obviously with two old boys that have played the game as well going up against head-to-head against each other. So Suncorp Stadium will be absolutely humming on Friday. I know for a fact that I've spoken to the team at the Brisbane Broncos, and they're saying they're looking pretty close to a sold out.
Oof.
Once again. And that'll be 3 weeks in a row.
Mm.
The Broncos have had will be sold out, including all the corporate boxes and everything.
The Raider fans do travel well, I think.
Fuck those guys, man.
Look, they get a fair mention on this pod, but I wanted to shout out Jarrell's West Rhino Panthers. They let us borrow their fields the last 2 days to shoot some content. Yes. Keep an eye out on the Ned's socials page for the two sketches we filmed out there. We had professional wrestlers on the field yesterday, belting the piss out of each
other. Give us the names of the wrestlers again. They need a shout out themselves.
I need to proper look them up, but Tommy Gunn was one. They're both from UPW Australia, a little semi-professional wrestling troupe that get around the sunny coast in Brisbane. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, keep an eye out on the Neds page for those sketches because they're going to be incredible.
Yeah.
Lovely, boys. Well done as always. Oscar will be back next week to give us all of his analysis. Until then, thank you for listening and we'll chat some footy next week.
Thanks for listening to Ned's NRL Unpopular Opinions. Enjoyed the podcast? Remember to like, subscribe, and rate the show wherever you get your podcasts.
What's gambling really costing you? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.